Thank you, Noah. That was wonderful. It was good for that moment as Norma was playing such that wonderful song, very harmonious, just to sit and be at rest before the Lord. But then a thought came to me, and I said, we sense that here this morning, but as I remember that scene from the first Star Wars back in 1978 when Obi-Wan said there's a disturbance in the Force. And I was thinking about that with my message today, that there's quite a disturbance in our country today, and that's the divisive spirit that seems to be taking hold of this country's soul. And I was reading through Philippians, preparing for this message, I realized that one of the great themes of this passage in Philippians 2 is about unity in Jesus Christ. I wanted to focus on that this morning because I believe the only true healing that can take place in a divisive spirit is by the revival of God in the hearts and soul of each individual person. That's truly the only way that our country is going to be healed. Although people will try all sorts of different schemes, but only Jesus Christ can heal division. And so what does biblical unity look like? Well, I came across this cartoon from the cartoon by Charles Schultz. When Lucy demanded that Linus change the TV channels, threatening him with her fist if he didn't, Linus asks, "What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over?" "These Lucy, individually they're nothing, but when I like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold." And Linus says, "Which channel do you want?" Turning away, he looks at his fingers and says, "Why can't you guys get organized like that?" Well, that isn't exactly unity that God intends, because biblical unity is not about strong over the weak, or the oppressor over the oppressed, or someone that says, my way or the highway. But biblical unity in God's family is built upon the grace and the forgiveness and the love for God in Christ, which is far beyond anything this world could offer. And I came across this story, this wonderful story of what unity can look like, especially for the church. On December 4th, 2017, 400 musicians gathered in the 23rd Street Armory of Philadelphia to perform a symphony for a broken orchestra by David Lang. The orchestra includes amateurs, professionals, and even members of the Philadelphia Orchestra. The youngest performer was 9-year-old cellist, the oldest an 82-year-old oboist. It might have been the most diverse orchestra in America. They brought 400 broken instruments to this. A trumpet held together with blue painter's tape, a violin with no A string, a bow that had lost most of its hair, a cello carried in multiple pieces. You see, the government had cut funding for music programs in public schools, and many school instruments fell into disrepair. But Lang brought them together and made something beautiful. As the musical piece opened, many of the instruments were silent, but gradually they found their voices. While a trumpet might not be capable of a sound, the keys could tap a rhythm. The scraping of a bow over the silhouette of a violin body could add an unusual element. At one point, a cellist made noise by turning a stringless peg. As the 40-minute symphony progressed, the instruments rose to life. Some musicians struggled, like a clarinetist who could get out only short bursts of sound, and a French horn player who kept losing his mouthpiece. But together the orchestra produced rich harmony. The music was playful and joyous. As the performance wound down, each section bowed out one by one until all that remained was the humble squeal of a broken clarinet. In the church, each broken instrument adds its own voice to the symphony of God's people. The best that some can do is simply tap or squeak, but with each other, the orchestra produces a joyful song of praise under the hand of the director. This is a great picture of the church as God intended it to be. Sinners who have been saved by grace come together with our brokenness, our hurts, our pain, our questions, and our doubts, coming together to complement each other under the guidance of the Holy Spirit because of the grace of Jesus Christ. When the church is united with Christ, we will be able to withstand anything the world throws at us. But knowing that, we can be the catalyst of change which directly impacts for the better the lives of others by leading them to Jesus. Our scripture today in Philippians speaks clearly that if Jesus gave his life to free us from the sin, that the best way to resist created by the voices within our society is to first, as Paul says, be united in spirit and purpose. Paul refers to you, as it says in our scripture, as being spirit and purpose. What does this mean? What does this mean, being one in spirit? There was once an old man lay dying in his bed. He had four sons who were always each other. He always worried about them and wanted to teach and ask his sons to come to him. When they came, the old man gave them a bundle of sticks and said, "Can you break these sticks?" The first son tried the bundle, but nothing happened. He tried very hard and finally gave up. Then it was the turn for the second son. He thought it would be an easy task, picked the sticks up easily, but he couldn't do it. He tried his best, but nothing happened. The third son tried it. He couldn't break them either. Meanwhile, the youngest son jeered at his brothers and thought that they were very incompetent. He thought he was very clever and took one stick at a time and easily broke all of them. The old father then smiled at his sons and said, "Children, do you understand what happened? It is always easy to break the sticks one by one, but when they are bundled together, none of you could break them. In the same way, you four brothers should always be together. No one will be able to hurt you then." Brothers realized what the Father was teaching them, that to be together, to be in unity, is their best strength. This is what it says from Ecclesiastes 4:12. "Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." There is nothing or no one who can break the spirit of God's people. There is no one that can separate us from the love of Christ when we are in Christ Jesus as we are. That's the promise that he has given to us, and that's the strength that we have as believers united in him. Last week we took for missions, and those mission dollars become part of a larger whole which supports missionaries on the front lines in very difficult places, most often leading people to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And it's not just the money we give, but it's the prayers that go with that and the love support that send to them in letters and cards, and how we pray for them here on Sunday morning. It's our church before the Lord praying for these missionaries that the Lord's work would be done and the Lord's will would happen. is a story of a missionary by the name of Dr. William Leslie, who in 1912 went to live and minister to a tribal people in a remote corner of the Democratic Republic of Congo. After 17 years, he returned to the U.S. a discouraged man, believing he had failed to make an impact for Christ, and he died 9 years after his return. But in 2010, a team led by Eric Ramsey with Tom Cox World Ministries made a surprising discovery. They found a network of reproducing churches hidden like glittering diamonds in the dense jungle across the Kwili River from Vanga, where Dr. Leslie was stationed. Based on his previous research, Ramsey thought that Yancey in this remote area might have some exposure to the name of Jesus, but probably didn't really understand who he was. They were unprepared for what they found. When we got in there, we found a network of reproducing churches throughout the jungle, Ramsey reports. Each village has its own gospel choir. Although they wouldn't call it that, he notes, they wrote their own songs and would have sing-offs from village to village. They found a church in each of the 8 villages they visited scattered across 34 miles. They also found a 1,000-seat stone cathedral that often got so crowded because many people were walking miles to attend. And then a church planting movement began amongst that people. Apparently, it was found out that Dr. Leslie, the original missionary, had traveled throughout this remote region teaching the Bible, promoting literacy. He also started the first organized educational system in these villages, Ramsey learned. For 17 years, Dr. Leslie fought tropical illnesses, charging buffaloes, armies of ants, and leopard-infested jungles to bring the gospel into a remote area. He died feeling like he had failed, but instead his faithfulness and courage left a powerful legacy of vital churches who were convinced of the gospel, who were united in Christ, and God honored them with the multiplication of believers. Dr. Leslie had the backing of the church. Although he was one, he was many, because that many were united in sending him, that many were united in praying for him. Even though he himself in his humanness felt like a failure, he was blessed before God, and God is rejoicing for him and for all those people there who came to know Christ because of his diligence and his commitment. Church, our commitment to being united is not going to come easy at times, and there's going to be powers and principalities, as it says in Ephesians, that are going to challenge us and maybe even try to discourage us. But we stand tall and we stand firm that the gospel is real, that Jesus Christ is alive through the Holy Spirit, and the gates of hell itself will never and cannot defeat us. Amen? Amen. Amen. But being like-minded and having Christ-like unity doesn't necessarily mean we will all agree on the same thing. We can agree to disagree. But we agree on the essentials, that God is God, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he came to die for our sins, and he rose again on the third day to prove that he has power over Satan. It is God who created us. He created us to be, in community. Does not mean we should think alike, believe alike, or even like the same food. But what the Lord does ask of us as believers is that we hold to a unity and diversity based on our common faith in Jesus. Because behind that is God himself with all his power and with all his grace. We are convinced that we are a united people, that we are indeed one in Christ. And that unity also means that we have concern for others, that we are willing to give our life for others as Christ gave his life for us, as it says in Philippians. There's a story about Senator John Stennis that one day had been a very long day in Capitol Hill. Senator Stennis was looking forward to a bit of relaxation when he got home. After parking his car, he began to walk towards his front door. Then it happened. Two people came out of the darkness, robbed him, and shot him twice. News of the shooting of Senator Stennis, the chairman of the powerful Senate Armed Services Committee, shocked Washington and the nation. For nearly 7 hours, Senator Stennis was on the operating table at Walter Reed Hospital. Less than 2 hours later, another politician was driving home when he heard about the shooting. He turned his car around and drove directly to the hospital. In the hospital, he noticed that the staff was swamped and could not keep up with the incoming calls about the senator's condition. He spotted an unattended switchboard, sat down, and voluntarily went to work. He continued taking calls until daylight. Sometime during the next day, he stood up, stretched, put on his overcoat, and just before leaving, he introduced himself quietly to the other operator. "I'm Mark Hatfield, and I'm happy to help out." Then Senator Mark Hatfield unobtrusively walked out. The press could hardly believe the story. There seemed to be no way for a conservative Republican to give a liberal Democrat a tip of the hat, let alone spend hours doing a menial task and be happy to help out. This is the kind of love and unity that God has for us, even for those we may not like, or we may think are opposite of us, or maybe even consider our enemy. But the Lord says that we are to extend the hand of love and acceptance to that person, to let them know that there's something more powerful and more and greater in the world than our separation, and it's our unity in Jesus, that Christ came to reconcile all people to himself. And it also means that unity as believers means we serve others as Christ served us, as Senator Hatfield served Senator Stennis. But that we do this with humility, not looking for praise or glory, but we do it because we want to give honor to the Lord. At a reception honoring musician Sir Robert Meyer on his 100th birthday, elderly British socialite Lady Diana Cooper fell into conversation with a friendly woman who seemed to know her very well. Lady Diana's failing eyesight prevented her from recognizing her fellow guest until she peered more closely at the magnificent diamonds and realized she was talking to Queen Elizabeth. Overcome with embarrassment, Lady Diana curtsied and stammered, "Ma'am, oh ma'am, I'm very sorry. I didn't recognize you without your crown." And the Queen replied, "It was so much Sir Robert's evening that I decided to leave it behind." From Romans 15:5-6, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." In Ephesians 4:2-3, "Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of spirit through the bond of peace." And the question that I have for myself as I leave with you this morning is, have each of us the humility of Jesus to serve Christ, to serve others, as Christ humbled himself to serve us? Rick Warren of Saddleback Church recently told a story about Dan Cathy, the president and CEO of Chick-fil-A. Cathy was in Southern California checking out some new Chick-fil-A restaurants their company was building near Saddleback Church, where Rick is founding pastor. These two stopped at a construction site of a new Chick-fil-A, and this is how the story went, as it's told. "We were looking at the building. While we were there, we were hungry, so we went next door to a Taco Bell. It was some other food, fast food in competition with Chick-fil-A. We'd been out, our hands were all sweaty and dirty, and went in the restroom and washed our hands. Then I watched Dan take out extra sheets, and this is the CEO of a chain of restaurants. I watched him pull them out, and I watched him clean the sinks of the Taco Bell bathroom we were just in. I looked at him and said, "Thank you for doing that, Dan." He said, "Rick, we teach our staff to always leave any place there as better than we found it, whether it belongs to a Chick-fil-A or not." And nobody at Taco Bell ever knew what Kathy did for them that day. Have each of us the humility of Jesus to serve others as Christ humbled himself to serve us. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.